thanks for coming out, despite the fact that we have no idea what's going to happen in the next few minutes or hours or anything else like that with the weather. I'm from the East Coast, so all of this stuff, I'm like, But I do acknowledge that it could get a lot worse. So thankfully, things have stayed pretty calm so far. I'm Jen Tennyson. Thank you for coming to class this morning. I appreciate all of you being here. This is the second to last class in our summer series, which I know for a lot of us is always pretty sad, because I love getting this time to come together as women and teach and participate in a way that we don't always get to do throughout the year. So the first thing I want to do is acknowledge and thank Stephanie. She put all of this together, and I really appreciate all of her hard work. And you know, she is very wise. She reached out last spring and asked me if I would be willing to teach, and I agreed because I always enjoy it, and neither one of us said anything about the topic first. And then I said, oh, what is the class on? She said, oh, 1 Corinthians 13, it's on love. And I thought, great, no one wants to hear about love from me, right? But then she told me that it was through the agape lens, which makes a lot more sense because Corinthians was written by Paul. And as we know, Paul was single. So most likely, even though we tend to take it to be about romantic love, he wrote it about agape love. And so when we were that first Sunday, when Steph was reading through the chapter, I was sitting with a friend, and I said, how many of us most likely had this chapter or these verses read at our wedding? Probably a lot of us. And how many of us that did that have either struggled throughout that time or are currently in a season of struggle in our marriages? And so it was just a really interesting thing to think about as we were reading all of those. So Steph put out the topics, and that gets to be really hard because I always think, oh man, if I choose this one, I don't want it to seem like, oh, I'm really good at that, and that's why I'm choosing it. And I think a lot of us kind of felt like we chose one that we wanted to work on or that had significance to us. And so I am 1 Corinthians 13 for today. And so before that, I just want to go ahead and reread 4 through 8, because as we've seen, all of it builds on each other. I don't typically teach at the end of the summer because I'm already back in school, and I'm usually more towards the beginning. And I have to say that it's a lot to follow all of the ladies that have taught before me this summer, because all of the classes have been really excellent and have brought about points in Corinthians and about love that I hadn't thought about before. So hopefully I can do us justice. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Okay, so everybody should have gotten a paper on your way in. At the very top, I have written out several different versions of this verse. So I'm going to ask for a minute that you take a look at those different versions, and there's a spot for you to take a couple of notes about what you notice might be similar or might be different between them. Feel free to mark it up if you want to. But my two questions there are, in comparing the versions, what do you notice, and why do you think that is? And this may not seem like a lot, but I'm an English teacher, and so words matter very much to me. So what stuck out between those versions?
The NIV. Hope is in all of them.
Okay. Hope is in all of them. Julie?
Protects is only in one of those.
What else?
This isn't so much about specific words, but like the overall thing that I take from that is that there are absolutes. Like, I think a lot of times it's not good to be a black and white thinker. You know, we should be understanding and kind of gray. But in this, there are no absolutes. It's like always, all things. Yes.
So we have either always or all things. NIV is no longer my personal version of choice when I'm studying, but I do find it really helpful to look at several. And NIV is the only one that says always. And all four of those are always. And all of the other ones say all things. And what Mary said, it's in absolutes. And we are. We're often told not to speak in absolutes. I know when I have parent meetings with students, we have to really try to stay away from using any type of absolutes. What's the counterpart to always?
Never.
And every single version uses never. And what does it say about never in verse 8? Love never fails, or love never ends. Love never fails, and love never ends. I think some also say ceases. Why? Any thoughts on why it might say always, or why it says all things? There's no right or wrong answer to this. I didn't write it, so. There's just something in the NIV, there's just something about hearing that always at the beginning. Love always, love always. Love always protects, love always believes, love always hopes, love always endures.
It wouldn't be there for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be because if we're doing something that goes against that, like if you're not hoping, it's not love. In that moment, you're not acting loving.
Good. So if you take the opposite of it, right? Like if you're not always doing it, then you're not good. Thank you. There is a line in one of my favorite songs right now, Joy in the Morning by Tarn Wells, that says, because it ain't even faith until your plans fall apart and you still choose to follow. And here he's singing about how your faith becomes real when things aren't going your way, or the way you expected or the way that you planned, but you continue to follow Christ. And I think it's the same thing when we're seeing always here, okay? We're not just loving somebody. We're not protecting somebody or bearing with them when they do that for me. We're not always believing when somebody's telling me the truth all the time. We're not always hoping when I'm getting what I want. And we're especially not always enduring or persevering when things are only easy. Always doesn't mean that we protect only those who are good to us. It doesn't mean that we believe only what we can see or feel. It doesn't mean that we only hope when things go our way. And it doesn't mean, like I said, that we endure what's easy. It means always and in all things. So I thought about why we've studied this and what's been so significant about it. And the way that we show love is often the very way that we lead others to Christ. I think that growing up, every Ladies' Day that we had at the congregation I grew up at, we always sang the song that includes, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love." For the world, that's often how we can bring them to Christ, when we love in all of this, because they're not used to seeing that. I think that's part of the reason why I love this summer series so much and look forward to it every year, because there's just something so different and beautiful about the relationship that we all have with one another as Christian sisters. And then we take what we've gained here and we can turn around and give that example to the world. Jeff Bethke is an author and a preacher, and he said, "Love others so radically they wonder why." The world is used to this not being an absolute. They're used to this being a conditional. And so when they're seeing it as an absolute for us, they're gonna wonder why. I've hurt that person. Why do they still love me? I've lied and cheated to that person. Why are they still protecting me? I've put that person through so much. Why do they still endure me? Because we're called to love like Christ loves, not like the world loves. Okay, so let's talk about these four. What do you think of, or examples, of love protecting or bearing? What do you think that that means? Or what examples from the Bible can you think of an example of love that protects and bears all things? Donna.
It seems completely different to me, bears all things as I'm tolerating you, I'm putting up with you, but protecting you just seems completely different. And I really like thinking about that difference.
And maybe bearing with them is how we protect them, right? Maybe bearing with them is how, when no one else wants to protect them, that's how we do it. Julie.
Now you bear their burdens. It seems very clear to me, the NASB says keeps every confidence. There is something about that person that you can count on to know everything about you and still love you. And I gotta say, at 60, those people are, I can count them on my thumbs. You know what I mean?
Because how many of us, that's a really good point, Julie, how many of us, especially with the keeping confidence, have trouble letting people into the darkest parts of us and the biggest struggles because we're afraid that they won't love us anymore, or they'll look at us differently, or they'll judge us for it.
Or they'll tell other people about it.
Or they'll tell other people. Linda.
When you first asked the question and asked about a Bible example, I was thinking about Jochebed. And I was thinking about when Moses was born, and protecting someone is, I think, trying to ensure the very best for them. And she did that for Moses. And then the things that she had to bear in order to do that, she had to, you know, pretty much give him away and put him in the bulrushes and not really knowing what was going to happen, but she knew that was the best thing for him, better than him being put to death. And she had a lot to bear in order to protect people. And we do that. We do that with our children. We do that with our spouses. We do that with friends. Sometimes we have to bear burdens in order to protect them.
And that's a great example of it not being easy, right? Mm-hmm. But she chose to do it in all things. Meredith?
I think about David and his relationship with Saul. Saul treated him in so many ugly ways. He did so many bad things to him, and David could have killed him, you know, but he didn't, and he dealt with it as best he could until the time that he passed.
To piggyback off that, Jonathan's love for David, even though his father was Saul.
Anybody else? When I was going through these and looking for examples myself, there are several people in the Bible who kind of were in more than one category. But obviously, there's only one that's in all four. So who do we know was willing to bear all of our sins, bear all of our burdens?
Jesus.
All right. How about believes and trusts? Love always believes, always trusts, and love believes in all things and trusts in all things. What are some examples, or what are some thoughts we have about that? Lisa?
Off the top, Abraham and Isaac. He knew that even if he went through sacrificing Isaac, God would send another way.
And this is his child that he had prayed for nearly a century before he became a father. Which was also an example of believing and trust. We know he veered off the path a little bit there, but Isaac was the promised son that he had been waiting for his entire life, and yet he was still willing. He trusted all, and he brought that knife up and was ready to sacrifice his own son.
Moses.
Who else?
Moses. I mean, from all the getting out of Egypt to just how he didn't feel like he was capable, like, to be the spokesperson. There's a lot of examples of him.
Yes. Ariel.
Kind of on a different track, but throughout this chapter, I've really been thinking, like, we read a lot of words that they seem like simple words, you know, like we see this word on like a motivational poster and it says believe, and it's like, oh, that's great. But just like the contrast of when we see someone who's not. And so like when you brought this up, like believes, trusts, immediately like Jonah came to my mind, and that scene where at the end where he is not believing, and he is not listening, and just kind of how pathetic that is, you know. And it's like we look at Jonah and we're like, Jonah, like get it together. But like I feel like that's us sometimes. It's like we're not believing and trusting, and to everyone else it's like, come on, just like get it together. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I guess just the beliefs and trust, like that's what came to my mind, is like just the contrast of the difference of seeing someone who isn't believing and how big of a deal that is versus like when we are seeing someone who believes like Moses, and it's just like we're like, what an inspiration to see the contrast between those men.
Good, and I think sometimes it's helpful to look at the non-examples, right? Like when whichever group ends up with beliefs and trusts, one of the examples is Thomas, right? He didn't believe that Christ had come back until he wanted to touch his hands to know that it was really him and that he was really human at the time. Anything else for beliefs and trusts?
Joseph, even with all he went through, he still believed that God would pull him out of it.
And he is such a great example of always loving through that, because look at how his family treated him. Look at how his brothers treated him, and he was still the one that essentially saved their family from starvation when they came to him. And he had every right to turn them away, but because he always believed and trusted, he went ahead and he saved them. Julie.
So are we saying that this always believes and always trusts is between us and God, not us and other people? I mean, everything else we talk about is that we bear somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But are we now kind of switching to believe and trust? Because is it saying we're supposed to always believe and trust other people?
What do we think?
I think like not giving someone the benefit of the doubt can be definitely problematic and hurtful. Especially like I am picturing like in a relationship, someone maybe being like accusatory of that person and not trusting them and accusing them of maybe cheating or, you know, lying, and it can just cause so many problems. And I definitely don't feel like I feel like doubting people and not trusting them is definitely not loving.
And if we go back to the verse prior, love finds no joy in unrighteousness but rejoices in the truth. That truth there is, I think, what a lot of times what we're called on. We are supposed to protect the truth and love the truth. And so that's where the believes and trust often comes in. But I think you do make a really good point, because that's the one that has the most examples of believing and trusting in God, versus one another.
Right. Because, you know, if you are in a relationship with somebody who is not always honest, and you're looking at it, well, I have to always believe and trust, that does not, first off, that would be dumb.
Right.
To do that. But, yeah, so that's why I'm like, okay, is this really talking more about our relationship with God?
Well, and I think sometimes our example of always believing and always trusting in God is what we show to others. And that's how it comes back around. They see our faith. They see our example. They see our absolute trust in God and his word. And that's where we can bring the world in. Anything else? Yes.
I don't know that. Going off of Julie, what she was saying too is, if you think of the opposite and you never believe anyone, that's not going to be helpful in any love or anything either. So being able to not just give the benefit of the doubt, but be able to lean toward belief and trusting people,
mm-hmm,
rather than just shutting everybody out.
That's a really good point. Anybody else? All right, let's move over to Always Hopes. So what do we think of when we think about hope? Hope is the one that, the same word that was in all of the versions that we looked at, is hope in all of them. It was also the one, when I was pulling verses for each one, it is the one that had the absolute most, and I had to narrow it down because my goal was 10, and that one had about 27 that I liked. Lisa.
I think about, I can't remember her name, Samuel's mom, when she would go into the temple and pray, and she was, you know, praying so hard that, yeah, they thought she was drunk, but she displayed hope beyond anything that
to describe.
Is that Hannah or is that Samson's
Hannah? Hannah.
Hannah.
Thank you.
Who else? We have several examples of women who always hoped, especially when it came to God providing for them in their dreams of a family. Or any examples of hoping? Yes.
Abraham's wife.
Sarah.
Rebecca was another one.
I feel like hope's too obvious of one. Too easy? Hope's too easy? Don't worry, it endures and perseveres. Mm-hmm. That's where it hits all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move over to that one. We had two main words that came up on both of the versions. Either always endures, always perseveres, endures all things, perseveres all things. Which they do kind of, endures kind of has a more negative connotation, like you're enduring all of these hard things or you're persevering through them. Which has more of a positive, like you're making it through, you're strong, whereas indoors, it's more happening to you. But, so what do we think? What are some examples? Ariel?
I think of Mary, Jesus' mom, Mary. I feel like her entire life was endurance.
She's a really good one for all of these, I think. I think about with the protects and bears and the believes. In the Passion of the Christ, I remember watching that when I was in college. And one of the hardest scenes in there for me was with Mary, and she's watching her child go through that. And Mel Gibson is a very devout Catholic. And in Catholicism, there's a lot of emphasis placed on Mary and her significance and her as the mother of Christ. And I think that that showed through. I mean, it really just showed Mary as a mom in a way that I hadn't seen it depicted in a movie before. And just the agony of a mother, not just a woman standing nearby, but a mother watching her child go through that. And I thought it was so powerful.
Noah and his family.
And what did they endure before the flood?
I'm sure a lot of ridicule. Mm-hmm. I forget, I mentioned it in the patient plus, I can't remember, but I mean, it was a stunning amount of years from the time that he was told to build the ark till the flood actually came. I mean, it's like hard to imagine.
Job?
Yes. Job's another one that's such a beautiful example of this, because what was everybody telling him to do? Including his own wife. Curse God and die, right? Get yourself out of all this misery. But Job persevered.
Joseph's a good one for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Lisa?
I think about, she fits into more than one category, but Esther. And the things that she endured from the time that she was chosen as a possible wife, and she had no say in the matter. And then she was enduring and persevering, not just for herself, but for all people.
And I think this is a good section to take back to Julie's question about whether or not we're looking at it as to God or to one another. And so Esther persevered exactly for the good of all of her people. And Joseph persevered for the good of his family. And Job persevered through all of it.
See, and I'm looking at all this as if we are to be Christ-like. That these are instructions for us, not something that we would put on someone else, like, should I trust you? It's, I'm supposed to be the person that is absolutely trustworthy. I'm supposed to be someone who endures and bears others' burdens and hopes in everything. And then these are graces that are given to us to mirror Christ. That it, no matter what happens in the world, the people around me, and them, I am this person because I am trying to be Christ-like and I'm mirroring Christ through this. Mm-hmm. This is who Excellent. I'm trying to be.
And that's why I think that the always is so significant, because mm-hmm. we're called on to do this always,
not based on other people, how they treat us, how they react, anything else. We are to always do it. Because in the end, the only thing that matters is Christ.
Meredith. And I think about like how we're talking about the trust thing. I think you're always ready to believe the best in people. So not being like always suspicious or like, I mean, you're gonna go with like the evidence that you have, right? But you're always like waiting for people to be able to change. And I think that's where Christ met people. I mean, he went to people that were so different than him. But it's like he believed that they could turn their lives around. And he had always gave people that chance. It's like, it's yours for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, if we go down a few verses to, like, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. That, you know, we're striving to be this completeness of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the always comes in.
And is it ever going to be complete on earth?
No.
It's a preview of the closing. Danny.
But God made it perfectly, so if we actually, the more people that strive to do this and do it more perfectly, the easier it is for us all to be able to trust each other and for all us to love each other. And so the more that everyone is always doing this, it makes it perfect.
And that's why we as a body need to work on it, because then we're able to do all of this for one another as well. Okay, so now we are going to do a classroom activity. So I'm going to ask that you listen to the instructions first. Everybody, you should have a worksheet. If you do not, my beautiful teaching assistant, McKenna, will give you one. And you may notice that up at the top of yours, there it's one of these four. They're all different. So what you are going to do in a moment when I explain to you is you are going to sit with the other people that have the same one as you. I will divide out the room so you know where to go and it's not chaos. There's a list of about 10 verses. So within your group, divide those verses up. Spend a few minutes reading your one or two verses, and then as a group, you're going to come back and share that. And then as a group, you are going to choose one of those verses to share with the whole. And if you look on your worksheet, you will see that there's two questions down at the bottom for you to fill in. And that's what you'll share. So you're going to put the verse. You don't need to write the verse out, but you're going to put the verse with an explanation of it. And then how does love bear all things? How does love believe all things? And what does this look like in our lives? So as a group, you're going to answer those two things, and then we will come back together and share it out. I understand for a lot of people, it is not comfortable to get up and have to move around. We sit where we sit on purpose. However, loving like this is not comfortable, right? So let's have, we'll do bears and protects right here, believes and trusts right here, hopes right here, and endures, there's my accent, and perseveres right here. So please go ahead, it's clockwise. I don't know, clockwork, counterclockwise, I don't take math. But it's in this order. I don't think you, did you hand them out evenly? Look at how big this group is compared to three.
You didn't give me instructions. You wouldn't hand them out.
Okay. She actually wrote the lesson.
Okay.
Version did you use on these verses?
Yes. So I think we're going to talk about all of them.
They don't all necessarily say the word, but sometimes are just an example of it. But that I meant to mention.
There might be a phraseology that's a little different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. These verses don't necessarily say your words, but may give examples of it. So don't let that confuse you. Right, so after you've looked at your verses, you're going to share with your group just kind of a simple summary of it. And as a group, you're going to choose one verse to share with all of us, as well as coming up with what does this look like for us. Our goal is to try to come back together at 10:10. So it's about 4 minutes. If we need more, we'll take more. Also, make sure within your group you choose somebody who's going to read your verse and share how we apply this to our lives. Helps to choose that ahead of time.
I got that one, and what I found about protect and benefit, that means the verse says God will be with you whatever you love. So basically, I'm going to be strong to be
afraid that no matter what happens, what the storm brings, he's going to survive.
The second one, I got that one too. So from 9 to 10, basically says that the Lord will be our rescue when we're in distress.
Right.
So he will be putting a stronghold on us when we're in distress. So basically, once again, we settle and holding us with a strong and locking us with a strong. So very, very strong protection he provides.
My very similar
Galatians 6:3, so it's a little bit similar to that. I see that in Romans we transitioned from God's love and protection for us into if anyone's caught in sin, we need to restore them with the spirit of gentleness. And that we need to be very careful and bear another's burdens to be able to walk with Christ. And the next verse kind of dictates that a little bit about not allowing ourselves to be sin and watching yourself and looking at yourself strong and you bring it caught in your sin. That what this reminds me of sometimes when you're trying to help someone come back and let them get caught in their sin. We know it's so much like our life is that, and sometimes it's helping them bear through, and you're bearing through the messes that they've made, and the tools that are cleaned up and protect themselves to get away from unfaithful.
Okay, this is a 2-minute warning. I was over ambitious with this, so unfortunately, we do have to come back together in 2 minutes. So if you can try as a group to get your verse and get what you would, what you would like to share, as well as who's going to, and we're going to go in our exact order.
I had the last one.
All right, 30 seconds. Make sure you have, you know who is going to speak.
I kind of like the last three things they're talking about, like, it seems like the first chunk is technology, the first how God and then the last chunk is about, like, our passions, like, how they're supposed to be.
Okay, let's come back together. Hopefully, if you didn't write it, you have it in your head. Protect the bears, you will go first. So, Lisa, it sounds like you've been put on the spot. So tell us the verse that you chose and tell us how we apply this to our lives. Just, you know, real simple.
Just real simple. Real simple. Yeah. Well, we didn't exactly choose a verse. We didn't get to that.
We liked them all. We
did.
It took me hours to narrow down when I was studying. Yeah. So,
but we did notice that the first several that we talked about God's, the relationship we have with God, and then the last several talked about the forbearing with each other. So one person did say the Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3, forbearing one another in love, kind of like summed it all up, even though that might not be the, you know, the favorite one. If we take that and not look at the word love as, you know, we do from a human perspective, but if we use that word agape that we've been talking about all summer, then it can change our lens. And forbearing one another changes how we view that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. Believes and trusts.
So our verses all kind of center around examples of faith or instruction on our faith. So our one verse we chose was Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So it's basically unwavering faith and having the trust that God has the power to do what He's promised.
Excellent. Thank you. Hopes.
Hopes. We decided on Romans 5:1-5, the meat of it is in 5. So hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So it's that hope of Him and the hope of knowing that there's more. Not that it doesn't disappoint on this earth, but hoping that there's a
That's our ultimate hope, right? Good. And last but not least, endures and perseveres.
I was just going to read it, but Jolene's going to explain it.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little teamwork.
Yeah. It's 1 Peter 6:1-7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
I looked at it as Christians in Ukraine and Russia, and what they're going through right now. They are scattered. This book starts off being written to people that are scattered. And right now they are scattered. And an example would be, say, the Church of Christ, the article I read, and which to me really applied, in El Centro is having a gathering, and we would go to that. But under these circumstances, their people are shelling our people and killing them, and we are doing the same back at them. And these people are living that now. It showed a group of Christians in Ukraine in a basement, gathered around a candle, having a worship service. And that's now. And they are enduring their brothers and sisters against one another, a minister was killed, and this is just in the Church of Christ, and look at all of the other believers and what's going on. And I know people that have interacted with the church in Moscow, and they have been to Odessa in Ukraine to visit, back and forth. That's so unreal to me. But that's what's happening with believers right now in our time. And they are enduring. And when it says in there, you are under fire, well, that fire was not what we're seeing there. But they're under fire. They're dying. And I think we should have great prayer for them and concern.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to try and wrap it up in the next 2.5 minutes. Please bear with me, if the bell goes off. So, we are called to do this always. And here is the hard part. This doesn't mean that things will be better. In fact, it means we continue to love even when it's not. We can always protect and our friend still gets cancer. We can always believe and our child walks away or we struggle with infertility. We can always hope and we may still be lonely, anxious, struggle with depression, aren't where we are in life that we are wanted, or are hurt daily by the world. And we can endure it all for so long, and our spouse will still break their vows. Because there is only one that never fails. That one love that never fails is Christ. And that doesn't happen here on earth. That happens in heaven. So we endure all of this, and we hold on to the always, and we do the all things so that we can achieve that love that never fails in heaven. And it's not easy, but it's going to be so worth it for us. Amen. We can do all of this, and he is the one love that never fails. Because it ain't even faith, it ain't even love, until our plans fall apart and we still choose to follow. We have the ultimate example of love in our God, his willingness to send his son to die for our sins, and that is the love that will never fail. Corinthians ends by saying there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So I thank you for being here. I thank you for listening. We do have a minute, so I'll close this out in prayer. Please join me. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for our ability as women to come together and to study your word and to learn how to continue to love each other. I'm so, so incredibly grateful for the love that's here in this room, both the love that we have for you and your son and your body and the love that we have for one another. I pray that you help us go out into the world and to always believe, always hope, always trust, always endure, and always persevere, always bear with one another. Bless us this day. Please be with all those of us who may be affected as the hurricane comes through. Keep us safe and bring us back together again at the next appointed time. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.